The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Crishon on Sunday, December 18th, 2016.
For today is the day the Lord has made. May our hearts rejoice, and may we truly be glad. For today is indeed the day the Lord has made. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, good morning. Thank you for letting us come on this brisk Sunday morning to worship you, to come together in spirit and in truth, with friends, family, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us come together now. Let us seek you in all that we do and say, and may it truly honor and glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Scripture today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dispose of her, dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We could go home now and say we've had church. Amen. Some of you are thinking, is he offering? It will be early. I've been doing this preacher, pastor thing a long time. Full time for over 20 years now. Advent after Advent after Advent. I don't know in that many of years how many of these little books I've saw come and go. Stacks and stacks and stacks of them. I've tried to read every one from the Upper Room or from Cokesbury or whoever, you know. And I just have to be honest, it gets a little old sometimes for me. I'm just being a little real. So this Christmas season, I've did those. And they're good, by the way. I'm not knocking these. This is excellent. And the story for the 13th was this woman who said that the church was changing around her and with her and everything else, and she was going to die before she saw the church grow into what it was becoming. And the people felt sorry. And she said, "Don't feel sorry for me. I got to hold the baby." She got to see it begin. So I do read them, and they are pretty darn good at, you know, baby Jesus anyway. So I'm not knocking them. But I wanted to do a little something for my personal life, and I looked at the scriptures that were coming up, and I decided to do some stuff on the unknowns. Joseph is the one for today. Thank you, Joseph. You know, he gets about 8 verses, you know, in the whole of the book. We don't even know when he dies. We just know that he dies. And maybe there's this cryptic message by the priest and Anna said that in the temple when Jesus is baptized that says, and a sword shall pierce your heart also. Maybe that was telling her that Joseph would die. Maybe it was about Jesus going to die. But Joseph. Matthew is fast. And the birth of Jesus is like this. You know, it's like boom, 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 boom. You don't get that pretty poem by Mary. You don't get the Magnificat, that song of Mary. You don't get that. And then they went to you don't get the whole travel saga. You know, you just kind of get the bare bones here. But Matthew is writing to a Jewish Christian reader. And that Jewish Christian reader, nothing's wasted in these 7 verses. It's loaded. As a matter of fact, it's jam-packed. There's more about Joseph here than meets the eye. Joseph. Joseph. The title of the sermon is, "Oh No, Now What?" You know, Joseph's an older man. He's got this young girl. He's going to be 14, between 13 and no older than 16, that he's going to be married to. You know, all this, evidently, we just have to assume, and we know we shouldn't do that, but we can make some historical observations and some historical conclusions that something had been going on, that Joseph had reached this age and had not been married. Because in Israel, in those ancient days, marriages were arranged. Love wasn't a concern. It was about dowries, it was about political connections and family connections and lineages and keeping those lineages pure and keeping those bloodlines where they're supposed to be. It was all arranged because of all of that. And the elders in the community arranged it, and then you went with it. So we're just wondering what. So Joseph's thinking, wow, it's finally working out. You know, I'm finally getting married. If Joseph had have only known, maybe. Maybe he did. So Joseph, and it says, and the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. That's important. Israel was looking for a Messiah, and Matthew says, Jesus the Messiah was like this. This is how it happened. Let's look at it for a minute, and we'll come back to Joseph. I'm not done with him yet. Let's look at the text for just a second. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. when his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, it's all set up, marriage is arranged, it's going to happen, date, time, place, dowries are exchanged, everything's ready, it's a big deal, big, you know, there wasn't any to go down to the JP and get it done. You know, down to the magistrate's office, let's get it, you know, let's do it quick. It was a big hoopty-la, had to be, necessary. A lot of wine drinking going to go on. You remember Jesus had to refill the goblets, or actually the big pots. I'm thinking 10, 15 gallons apiece, they said those things held. You know, they were a bunch of drinking going on down. That's a lot. Anyway, it was the good stuff, too. So he'd been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child. Oh, no. Now what? I mean, think about it. Just think about it for a minute. Do you understand the Jewish societal implications here? Yeah. Outcast. Now, could you imagine the gossip tree down around the well? You know, can you imagine? Have you heard? You know, Joseph, I don't guess he could wait. You know, he got into the pie a little early or whatever, you know. He was, you know, searching it, whatever. You know, can you imagine? How many of you have been victims of gossip? It gets mean, doesn't it? You should have my job. It's okay. I have good skin. Go for it. So here we are, Joseph, and she's found to be with child. And then, you know, she's pregnant, and this story she's telling, and all of that stuff, it just can't be so. And so now she says, her husband Joseph, being a righteous man. You need to understand there's a difference between righteous and religious. Do you understand that? Righteous, he's a good man. Not religious. Though I feel like the two go hand in hand for him. But he's righteous, he's a good man. He's found out about it. He's thinking about it. And he decides, I've got three options. These were his three options in Jewish culture. Number one, I can save face and look good and hang her out to dry. I can publicly embarrass her, put her out, she'll just be an outcast in her whole community. That's my first choice. I'll look good when I do that, you know. That'll save face of me, save my reputation, and everything's good, golden. You know, everything's good to go. The second thing I could do is go ahead and take her to be my wife, and that would bring everything into question. Because that would just affirm the gossip rumors down at the well that we knew each other before we were married. And that's the only reason I would have married. That would have confirmed all the gossip groups. And that could be the worst answer to this whole thing, because then we'd both be outcast in our communities. We'd be cast out of our churches. We'd be cast out of our families. It would just be me and her going out on that. And not only that, I'm a carpenter. I depend on my neighbors and my friends for business. And all of a sudden, they wouldn't help me anymore. And they wouldn't hire me anymore. And they would blackball me in the community. And that's the worst one. But there's a third option. I don't want the first one. The second one don't look too good, to be honest with you. It kind of looks kind of scary. So I'm going to take the third option. And it says that Joseph, when he had decided to put her away privately, to just let it go into the night. You remember we used to do that in this country. When a young girl got pregnant out of wedlock, we'd send them to live with a relative somewhere far, far away. You know, back east, we'd send them out here. Did you folks send them back east? We suspect that that might have been the case. So, or maybe you send them further west, you know, get them out to California. So, anyway, you know, here it is. It's just to let this go away quietly. Let the deal be undone. Let's don't say anything about this. Joseph decided that the best thing for him to do is just let it silently go into the night. And now, how many of you faced a problem you couldn't sleep until you settled it? Joseph goes and goes to sleep. Dream time. The angel of the Lord comes, and that angel doesn't come with suggestions. You need to notice that. The angel says, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. You're going to do that, and when you do, she's going to have a little boy, and you're going to name him Jesus. That's the way it's going to be. And he's going to be the Savior, he's the Messiah, and you're going to call him Emmanuel, and he's going to save his people from their sins. Not suggestions. And Joseph elected a committee to study it. No. Joseph said, I've got to think about this. No. Joseph said, you know, I think we should vote on this, and I'm voting for four. You know, you get one vote, angel, whatever. You know, maybe we'll refer it to the Electoral College and see what they have to say. Or maybe, I know, angel, hold on, let's give it to the think tank and see what they come up with. You know, is there another option here? No, Joseph doesn't do any of that. What does Joseph do? He does it. He don't say he rejected it. He didn't say it. It says, and he did it. And he named him Jesus. And we know from the little glimpses we get of this guy, Joseph, he was a stand-up guy. About to get them all killed, he hauls it out, goes down to Egypt, get away from them, remember? So Joseph, who is this character? He's a carpenter. But he's a righteous man. He's a good man. He's a faithful man. He's a one of unwavering faith in God and listens to God's call in his life and picks option two, the worst one. Takes her to be his wife with all that that entails. So let's talk about Joseph. Who is this guy? He's a carpenter. But he has a lineage. He has a history. Because the text, Matthew, makes a point of saying that he is a son of David. Let's go back just a little bit. How many of you remember Joseph in the Old Testament? Carrie, you do? Anybody else? My Sunday school class was scratching their head this morning. Joseph and the coat of many colors. What was his daddy's name? Jacob. What was another name that Jacob was given after a wrestling match with God down at the Ford of Jabbok? What? You folks don't read your book. You forget. Keep reading it. Keep it close. Maybe osmosis. Hold on to it. Put it under your pillow or something. Maybe it'll, you know, anyway. Read your book. Okay. What was his daddy's name? Israel. What was it before that? Crook, Swaster. Him and his mama conspired and got his brother to give away the inheritance for a bowl of soup. You remember this crook? And then he ran away. And he was crooking his uncles and his relatives. Don't you remember the stories? He had sticks and he stole the good sheep and the bad. Yeah, he was a crook. He wound up with three wives. I don't know if this is good. I don't know if this is bad. And he gets in a fight with God down at the ford of the river called Jabbok. And he won't let go. He's tenacious. I'm not letting you go until you give me your blessing. And I think God's thinking, I ought to stomp you, you little crook. And he touches him in his hip socket, breaks his hip. But he still won't turn loose. And finally, the angel of the Lord says, and from now on, you shall be called Israel. That's when the nation of Israel is born in a battle with Jacob at the ford of Jabbok. That's the birth of Israel. And Jacob will have a whole crowd of boys. And Joseph. Joseph will be the youngest. And loved the most and hated the most by his brothers. They'll take his coat of many colors. They'll put him in a pit. They'll swear the animals ate him. And his old blind daddy can't tell the difference. Then they'll go get him out of the pit they put him in and sell him. To who? To the caravan of what nation of people? Oh, yeah, that's generally correct. The Ishmaelites. Oh, wait a minute. Ishmael, do we know that name? Who is that name from? That's Hagar and Abraham's little hoop-a-hoo back yonder. So all of a sudden, Israel, this person, Israel's son, is now in Egypt with the Ishmaelites. I told you, that's how you got an Egyptian was what? That's how you got an Arab is how? Egyptians and Jews, remember? Wow. It's called the Bible. It starts in Genesis and gets interesting by chapter 6. So if you want to skip over to 6, you can. You know, that way you get everybody killed. And it all starts over with the flood. It gets interesting. So now, let's hurry. We got Joseph. He's this guy. He's in Egypt. He's in slavery. And all of a sudden, he rises to fame because of a gift that he has that his brothers hated. And that gift was what? The interpreting dreams. Here is Joseph 1 that's way back when, who is an interpreter of dreams. And we run over to Joseph now in the day of Jesus who has a dream. And believes a dream. And follows a dream. And this lineage is of the promise to Jesse that the kingdom of David would have no end. And the Messiah would be to fulfill that promise to Jesse, who was the father of David. So do you see how loaded this text is for the Jewish reader? Not so much for us. But that Jewish reader, when they read this, they were going, like, wow, this Joseph guy, look at this. Look what he's fulfilling. But I want to ask you a question. And this is the heart of the message today. What did Joseph get out of it? What did Joseph get out of this trade? This compromise? This listening, he gets 11 verses of Scripture. Woo-hoo! You know, that's a lot, right? He gets this woman of this questionable situation, right? He gets ostracized by his family. She gets ostracized by her. They go to back to the Bethlehem for the census, and there's no room for them. In other words, they couldn't even rent a room in his hometown. What did he get out of it? How did it benefit him? We Christians ask the same thing today, don't we? What am I going to get out of this relationship with you, God? Don't we arrive at that? But Joseph doesn't ask that, does he? He doesn't say, what is in it for me? You see, God's plans are not our plans, and God's ways are far above our ways. And Joseph was a little man who God had chosen to be the father of his very son, the earthly embodiment of a righteous man, a good man. To be the father of his son, then Joseph didn't realize. He dies somewhere before Jesus starts his public ministry. We don't know when. They have sons and daughters other than Jesus. We know that. We don't even know when it isn't even mentioned. You see, we've got it all wrong in our relationship with God. The question should never be of God, what can you do for me? He's already done that. He sent his son that died that we may have eternal life. So what did Joseph get out of it? By the world's standards, not very much. But we don't measure it by those standards, do we? What if Joseph had not have been faithful? The story would be quite different. What if Joseph had questioned God's call and the dream? But he didn't. So what did Joseph get? He followed God's plan. And Joseph gets a lineage to have hailed the very Son of God. To have shaped a young man's life into the Messiah that understood the people around him. Jesus was fully human, Joseph had left a lineage far greater than his own life. And Jesus was known well as the carpenter's son. For two reasons, likely he followed in the trade, but the other was that questionable situation way back when. But Jesus was shaped by the very hands of a carpenter. And we see that gentleness and that humility that left a lineage beyond anything that Joseph could have imagined. What are we getting out of our faith today? How is our lineage shaping up? What are we leaving behind? You see, Joseph loved God in humility and humbleness. And I'm sure that he loved Jesus in the same way. And it's that lineage that extends beyond those few verses in that scripture. You see, he was faithful, and that changed history. It's your watch and my watch. It's our turn. Now what? Ball's in our court, so to speak. It's our day. It's our time. We're writing our history, and we're charting our legacy. And if it isn't filled with God's love and grace, it'll soon be forgotten. Close your eyes for just a minute, but don't go sleep on me. I want you to think about the people who have touched your life along your journey. I bet you'll find them to be humble, selfless, caring, and loving. They left a legacy, didn't they? It may have been simple little things they did. I remember Miss Bird, my first grade teacher. I was not a good little boy, but she kept telling me I was. You can come back now. But with your eyes open and your mind in gear now, whose life are you touching? And what legacy are you leaving? We're leaving one for the better or the worse. As I've looked at these minor people, not just Joseph, you'll hear about more coming up. They did little things that changed a lot. Folks, God doesn't ask you to do anything he doesn't prepare you for. And even if it's a little thing, it's not little in the hands of God. And it may not be little in 10 years or 20 years. You never know. Those of you who interact with people, and I'm talking mostly to my teachers right now for a second, you don't know how you're influencing that person's life for the rest of their life. I still remember Miss Bird. I can hear her saying that to me today, and that's been a long time ago. And there have been times in my life when I remembered that somebody thought I was a good person even back then. It makes a difference. I can remember some harsh things, too. What's our legacy? How will we be known and remembered? Heading into Christmas, it's about what we remember. It's about celebration of what has happened and the expectation of what is yet to come. That's life, isn't it? The celebration of where we have been and the looking forward to where we are going. The celebration of how God has blessed us and how we pass it along. Martin Luther King taught a principle that he learned from Mahatma Gandhi, and that was, you don't go forward by yourself. You bring them along. That's Christians, folks. We don't go ahead by ourselves. We're called to bring them along. Bring them with us. So, oh no, what now? It's up to us, isn't it? Amen. History. Jesus fulfills it all, and the virgin shall be with child, and you shall call him Emmanuel. And Joseph was asked in the temple that day, what shall this child's name be? And he said, Jesus. May we go to know we're a part of God's plan. God is delighted in us to use us and share us if we go in humility, love, and grace. That not only our lineage, not only that during our time, but that God is honored in the life we live. Go knowing God's power and grace in everything that you do. May God bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.